Welcome to Carolina's Mortgage Radio with Brandon Kohlberg, Fort Mill, Rock Hill, and TKK's number one show for mortgage and real estate. Brandon Kohlberg has been a mortgage advisor for over 14 years and is ready to assist you. Call Brandon now at 704-999-6646. Visit carolinasmortgageradio.com. And now, here is your host, Brandon Kohlberg.
Hey, good morning. Thanks so much for tuning in to Carolina's Mortgage Radio. We are the number one radio show for mortgage and real estate here in the Fort Mill, Rock Hill area. Appreciate you tuning in. We've got a great show lined up for you. Lots of things, you know, continue to happen in and around this COVID-19, quote-unquote, pandemic, if you will, if that's what you call it, with schools and employment. And, you know, now more than ever, if you haven't looked at doing a refinance, you definitely need to give me a call. Let's run some numbers. Most likely going to be some significant savings for you. 704-999-6646. I am your host, Brandon Kohlberg. Call me anytime during or after the show. Rates continue to get to even further historical lows right now. I mean, you know, we're almost sub 3% on a 30-year fix, which is just almost hard to say. I mean, it's just such a weird, interesting time and what's happened in the interest rate markets. But to your advantage, definitely take advantage of it. And you know, the mortgage world, some industries have been really hit hard by the government shutdowns. And I know there's a lot of people struggling in the mortgage world. You know, it's a kind of a different perspective because of where rates are. Things are incredibly busy, so don't miss out. Take advantage of the historical low rates. Call us anytime, 704-999-6646. That's where the market's at as far as rates go. And, of course, they're incredibly low for purchasing a home as well. And so now is still a fantastic time to buy a home. The market is hot. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about what is kind of the outlook for the rest of 2020 and into 2021. What does it look like from a local perspective? You know, real estate, we talk about it all the time, is a local market, a regional market. It's really not necessarily a national market. So when you're looking at national news, probably the information that you're going to get there is not really pertaining to our local market here in the Charlotte-Fort Mill areas. And so we're going to give you that information right now. And to do it, we've got someone who has been on the show before, fantastic guest, Naomi Abel with Keller Williams South Park. Naomi, good morning. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for having me again.
Absolutely. So we had such a great time with you the first go-around. Thought you'd bring you back. And obviously, you've got great expertise to share. So thanks so much for being here.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm excited to be here.
So kind of give us, you know, a brief introduction of you know, who you are, your experience, and kind of what's been happening in this real estate market.
Yeah, so I'm in my fourth year. Year to date, I've closed just over $5 million. And it's been very good. It's been busy. It's been different with COVID, but we're seeing buyers out there and they're looking, and inventory is low. We're at 1.3 months of inventory. So we're still in a seller's market, but there are workarounds for the buyers. So there's still stuff to look at.
And so, you know, 1.3 months of inventory, what, break that down. What does that actually mean? What's kind of typical?
Yeah. So a balanced market is 6 months of inventory.
Yeah.
And we're at 1.3. So I have a lot of buyers, and I don't have as much to show them. So we have to go about things a little different. So you farm areas. So if you have a buyer that's looking in a zip code, you're going to pull a search on, you know, the number of bedrooms and such, and you're going to send mailers out. You're going to door knock. If they like a neighborhood, you're going to hit the neighborhood hard and try to get people who have been thinking about selling off the fence and to list their house.
Yeah, so I think that's, you know, a big issue right now. There's just not enough inventory. And people out there that are thinking about maybe selling their house, you know, maybe they don't listen to our radio show, unfortunately, but we need to get them to tune in. But they're thinking now's not a good time to sell because of all that's what's going on, right? So they think, so it really does take effort on your part, the on real estate local real estate agents, to get the word out that, hey, I've got buyers, not enough houses. Do you want to sell?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It's and I think the thing is, you know, with the sellers, they want to sell, and they and the question is always, well, where do I go? And I think it's for realtors, it is important more than ever before to really be able to connect with your clients and explain to them the process. And you have to have a really good understanding of what to do and how to approach certain situations like lack of inventory.
Right. So, hey, if you're listening to the show and you're on the fence, maybe thinking about selling, just know that now is actually a fantastic time to sell. You can list your home and most likely have some multiple offers coming in very, very quickly. It is a crazy hot market. Again, we're going to talk more about it. But if you are on the fence, if you're thinking about selling your home, at least have the conversation. You can call Naomi or you know, your experienced agent that you've worked with, and kind of just begin having a conversation to maybe get your house on the market.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, not every house, you know, the multiple offers, it depends on the price point.
Right.
But generally speaking, the houses are getting scooped up very, very quickly.
Do we think that why is that? Why hasn't, you know, COVID-19 kind of slowed the housing market down here?
Well, like you said, it's very, you know, in regards to the national news, you know, it's very, we're in this little bubble, right? And this is what we talked about before we went on the air. And, you know, the Southeast is strong, and the economy is still strong, generally speaking. And there's jobs here. You know, we are a major banking industry, major banking city. There's other companies that are coming here. You know, Honeywell just came here. There's a lot going on, and people want to be here. So I think that buyers have a lot more power than they did before, and people are coming here from all over. I mean, and now that people can work remote, I think people are going to start coming here from the north and California and whatnot.
Yeah, definitely want to talk about that. But, you know, in terms of, you know, Charlotte being a banking city, I think we've learned – If we've learned nothing but one thing in the past, you know, 4 months, it's that no one is going to allow the banking world to suffer. I mean, they've been propped up. They've been heavily capitalized and funded by the federal government. So which, you know, is good for the city of Charlotte.
Oh, absolutely.
That the banking is going to always have liquid capital to invest and to continue their operations. So that is a good thing for sure for our city. Definitely Charlotte. And I was actually explaining this to a client on the way down here, Naomi. They're asking me, you know, they're in real estate investing and they're thinking about, you know, wanting to buy a new primary home for themselves. And they'd asked me, you know, what's my take? Are values going to be going down over the next couple of years? And I explained to him, and I kind of maybe shared this on the show before, but I think the Southeast, essentially, especially Charlotte area, for a very long time has been a regional player. If you lived in Atlanta, you knew of Charlotte. If you lived in, you know, maybe parts of, you know, Southern Virginia, you knew of Charlotte. Maybe some parts of Florida, you knew of Charlotte. And you could see that as a place to live and to raise a family or to go to find a new job because the employment market in Charlotte has just been fantastic. Like you said, we continue to attract very large corporations to headquarter here. And it's just, it's, you know, we're close to the beach, close to the mountains. We've got, you know, so many different things to offer. But now what I've been seeing over the past couple of years is that for people in California and Washington State and Oregon and Nebraska and New York and all these and Texas, Charlotte is now a national name.
Oh, 100%.
You can just say Charlotte and people in Washington State know that's Charlotte, North Carolina.
Yep.
Wasn't always the case. I don't know how new that is, but it feels like within the last couple of years. And I've already, you know, helped a lot of people from the West Coast purchase properties here in the Charlotte-Fort Mill area. And I think that's just going to really gain steam. And because of that, because we've already got a lack of inventory. We already have 100 people a day moving into the Charlotte area from out of town.
Yep.
And so I think those numbers are going to increase and continue, which is going to increase our values here in the Charlotte-Fort Mill area.
Oh, absolutely.
And continue this hot market for what I see as a very long foreseeable future.
Well, I think what's interesting, though, so, you know, people coming from California and up north, the prices down here, relatively speaking, are way lower than...
Right.
Than,
that's another key point to that.
And so people can't believe what they can get for their money down here.
Right.
Couple that with the lower taxes. I mean, it's a win-win for people that are coming here. I think it's 123 people a day move here.
I actually had some friends over that moved from California about this time last year, almost a year ago, and moved from California. They had a 1,200 square foot house. They've got three kids. They live in a 1,200 square foot house. And they, of course, they come to Charlotte. They actually bought in Denver, North Carolina, a suburb of Charlotte, and get a 4,200 square foot house, you know, five bedroom, four bath.
Pool in the backyard.
For less than what they were paying out in California.
Oh,
so, I mean,
absolutely.
It's just, it really is such a big difference for some people.
Yeah, there's a reason people are coming here. There's a reason people are coming here. And you have four seasons.
Which I love.
Yeah.
You're listening to Carolina's Mortgage Radio. Give us a call anytime during or after the show. I'm your host, Brandon Kohlberg, 704-999-6646. We've got Naomi Abel here in studio with us, Keller Williams South Park. I actually say that quite a good bit. I love to have all four seasons. I'm from much further south in the armpit of the USA, Augusta, Georgia, and we basically had two seasons, spring and summer. And it's just lightning hot down there. Charlotte, we're close to the mountains, so you can easily get away for a day trip or a weekend trip to go, you know, spend some time in the mountains or the beach.
Absolutely.
In non-COVID world.
Centrally located. Yeah, exactly. Well, so when all this COVID hit, I would take my kids. We would go up to Boone, go hiking, hop, skip, and jump away.
Yeah. Boone's fantastic. So, and looking at the market now, I mean, what is your outlook? What is the kind of the new normal during this? Is it kind of business as usual? Do you see anything that, you know, real estate agents such as yourself are having to adapt to? Anything that your buyers and sellers are having to adapt? I mean, because, you know, it's still a hot market, but there's a lot of the changes going on, whether it's, you know, government, you know, initiated or local municipalities. What are you kind of seeing?
Oh, this is like the loaded question, right?
It is, for sure.
It is not the new normal. I don't like the phrase the new normal, because it's just, like you said, it's just about adapting to your surroundings and what's going on. So we're just approaching things a little different. So if you looked at the start of COVID, there were major restrictions. We could not get into houses unless a buyer had a vested interest, basically meaning a buyer would have to put money up. You'd have to technically like go under contract before
just to go see the house.
Right. I mean, there were a few workarounds, but generally speaking, so it was a lot of red tape, if you will.
Yeah.
So there was a lot of back end stuff that we were having to do just to get in the house. And so the process took a little bit longer. Whereas right before COVID, you know, a buyer sees a house, we get in, make an offer, and it's done. So it's just a little bit different of a process. Then they lifted the restrictions a little bit. And so the ease of getting into the houses helped a lot. We still weren't able to do open houses. So gradually, for the past few months, you know, it's getting back to quote-unquote normal. We're just having to make a lot of – you know, we have to meet the CDC guidelines and, you know, the mask wearing and gloves and hand sanitizer and whatnot. But it's been interesting adapting to everything. For me, you know, my business is always coming from contribution, and it's a relationship-based business. It's not transactional. So for me, it's just connecting with my clients in a different way.
Yeah.
So instead of just reaching out to them saying, hey, do you want to go look at this house? I'm like, hey, like, what do you need? What can I do for you? Are you okay? Are you hanging in there? How are your kids?
Right.
So it's relating to them on a way more personal level than ever before. And it strengthened the relationships also. I think also, you know, with some of the sellers, you know, just because it's a seller's market and there is low inventory, sellers were even more hesitant to put their house on the market because they didn't want people, you know, walking through their house during COVID and whatnot. So we really had to take even more precautions to get them off the fence,
right?
And ease their mind a little bit. I think also with low inventory, it's a hard conversation to have with your sellers because just because it's a seller's market doesn't mean you can price houses however you want.
Right.
It still has to make sense and it still has to appraise and generally speaking. So if a house is worth $400,000 just because there's low inventory doesn't mean you can price it at $475,000.
Right.
And I think that's a big misconception with sellers. For the buyers in this market, people are hearing all this stuff with the national news and they're waiting for the bottom to fall out.
Right.
And they're waiting for a deal. And it's a difficult conversation to have saying, hey, you're not going to get a deal.
Right.
And this is the reality. So you can stay where you are or we can move. You can find a place to live. The mortgage rates are at record lows, so you have more buying power than you ever have.
Yep.
So you're getting your savings on the mortgage rate side. But you're either going to move because if you're waiting for a deal, it's never going to come. And so it's two totally different conversations between the buyers and the sellers. And they're very different from pre-COVID.
Yeah. Has it been hard adapting? Because, you know, it seems like every issue now is just so polarizing. You know, and people, for whatever reason, take extreme positions on either one side or the other. Has it been kind of hard adapting to, and I'm sure, you know, we have our own personal opinions for the most part, salespeople, you know, should and most do kind of keep their personal opinions to themselves because, you know, we want to do what's best for our client.
Right.
We know we have clients on kind of every side of every issue.
Yes.
And so has it been hard kind of adapting to one side or the other or just adapting to how strongly people feel one way or the other on, you know, letting people in their house or not letting people in their house or any of that?
Yeah. So it's – for me, it's – every person is so different. Like you said, I keep my views out of it completely.
Right.
And I – whatever their goal is, you know, if they want to have, you know, 1,000 people – I'm not going to say that. So – if they want to have people coming through their house, mm-hmm. okay, let's figure out a way to do it for like an open house or whatnot. If
right.
they don't want it, then we have to figure out how to approach it that way. You know, we can – if people don't want, you know, live viewings in the beginning, we can do virtual showings. There's a lot of things we can do. I just try to ebb and flow to get my clients the result that they're looking for.
Yeah.
And in this – and right now, ebbing and flowing is crucial.
Right.
It's crucial.
Yeah, that is definitely key. So, hey, if you need to ebb and flow, do it with us. Call us anytime during or after the show, 704-999-6646. I'm your host, Brandon Kohlberg. In studio with me is Naomi Abel, real estate agent with Keller Williams South Park. You know, I'll even have some people call me now, Naomi, and, you know, we're, you know, talking about, you know, getting them pre-qualified or, you know, quoting some rates, whatever, and they'll start, you know, kind of maybe even fishing for some information on how, you know, how have you have, hey, I'm staying out of that. I'm just here to help you get a mortgage.
I know. Yeah. It's, I'm pretty active on social media and I keep my opinion out of all of it.
Yeah.
I try to just give information about the housing market and keep it at that.
I kind of feel like everybody should be in sales and have that attitude. And it would just be a more peaceful world if we all just kind of kept our opinions to ourselves and just worried about ourselves and took care of things that way.
100%. 100%.
All right. Well, we're going to start recruiting to the mortgage and real estate world.
Yes, come on.
Right. It's, you know, it's funny because it's actually, we've been recruiting so hard to bring people, higher experienced people or even non-experienced people in the mortgage business because we're so incredibly busy right now, because it is such a hot market, because rates are so low. There's, you know, so many refinances available to take advantage of out there to save money on your mortgage payment. So, you know, it's something that we have actually been really in need of for several months. I mean, the mortgage industry itself definitely is short staffed right now. So, you know, if you know anybody, if you're listening and know anybody who, you know, maybe wants to look at a new career, definitely reach out and, you know.
Oh, it's a good industry to be in.
Yeah.
I love it. Have a good time.
16 years I've been doing it. Yeah. I've been,
oh, good for you.
It's September of 2004. So coming up on my 16-year anniversary. And, you know, I got back in, got in the business back in like the original refi boom. And I remember at the time, you know, people would call and say, hey, you know, I want to refinance. What rate can I get? And I was quoting at the time 5.75% on a 30-year fixed.
Oh, wow.
And they were just over the moon. Lock me in today. Now you tell somebody, man, I can do 3%. They're like, can't you do any lower?
That's it? That's the great rate?
We're in a spoiled environment when it comes to rate, for sure.
I know. I got 3.3.
Yeah, which is fantastic.
Mm-hmm, for 30 years.
So, but yeah, let's talk about your experience, if you will. I mean, because, you know, so much of my business is built out of personal experience. You know, what I liked about the home buying process, what I didn't. How things went, you know, with this process, how things went with that process, and then kind of fine tuning my process to make sure that, you know, the clients that I work with have a fantastic experience. And so you recently purchased a home during this, you know, whole, whatever you want to call it.
I did. Yeah. I had not purchased a home. It'd been 7 years.
Yeah.
And holy smokes, I needed the reminder of what an emotional process it is.
Yeah.
Because, you know, when you do it day in and day out, you know, you have your task at hand and it's a transaction for you, right? And you're the one that's, you know, the level-headed one, right?
Right.
And it was a very good reminder for why people need realtors. So I represented myself on the buy side and it was emotional. I mean, it wasn't just a house. It was my house.
Yeah.
And it was a longer process just because of COVID and I'm self-employed. There was a lot of back and forth, but at the end of the day, we got it done. And it was also a reminder for me for why you need a good team of people that you work with.
For sure.
That have the common goal. Because if you don't have people that can work well together, it can be a disaster.
Yeah, and there's been, you know, lots of new guidelines, new restrictions, whether they're full-time or part-time in the mortgage world, especially when it comes to self-employed people. So I'm sure you had to do P&Ls and, you know, P&Ls and commission breakdowns from Keller Williams, and
yes.
Which is not normal. You know, typically we had 2 years tax returns. We're going to average those out and we're good to go. But now during this whole, you know, pandemic thing, whatever you want to call it, so much more documentation is required because the banks want to see that you're still working, still making money.
Yep, absolutely.
And so a lot of new layers are in the process right now, which goes to your point. If you're not working with experts in the field, real estate, mortgage, insurance, you know, financial advisors for that matter.
If you're accountants.
Not accountants. Yep. If you're not working with a team of professionals, you could be in for a loss of money, a loss of a loss of emotions. And
exactly.
It's a really, really unique environment right now in terms of some new restrictions and guidelines in the mortgage business.
Oh, and also, you know, in regards to, you know, all the furloughs that were happening with the government. So one of the big challenges I had with my loan was, you know, normally you guys click a button and you get my tax transcripts.
Right.
Well, you can't do that right now.
IRS is shut down.
So I was – we couldn't get my transcripts. Yeah. And so I was on the phone with the IRS and I said, all right, well, I need this. I'm trying to log in. It's not letting me in. They said, well, we don't have anyone to send you to. That office is closed. I said, well, wait, what do you mean? It can't be closed. I'm trying to close on my loan. I said, well, can you mail me my transcript? She goes, well, no, because there's no one that can do that either. So there, the beauty of it, though, is that although you have those hurdles, if you're working with people that are experienced, there are workarounds.
Yes.
There are absolutely workarounds, but you just have to work with experienced
yeah.
with an experienced team.
Yeah, and laying out kind of the process up front, you know, can alleviate so many issues of stress and emotional distress during the process. Like, hey, it's going to be a little bit of a tougher process. Here's everything that we're going to need. Here's everything that's going to come up, like the tax transcript issue for
yep.
For self-employed people right now. Because I was actually having this discussion this morning. So we order those through a third party that goes directly to the IRS. Well, the IRS only opens up their window from time to time to take in these requests, and then they shut things down because they're low staffed, people working from home, and you know, if you're not on top of things very early on, you could have significant delays in processing a loan. And maybe even if you're on top of things, you there are still maybe some delays right now.
To speak to that, there is something that we have that we're able to use. It's the COVID addendum,
right?
Where if something happens due to COVID, there's some protections for the buyers and especially like if there's delays and stuff like that. But yeah, it's a longer process now.
Yeah.
It is. It's way longer.
So obviously, you've been a real estate agent for a while now. You've helped, you know, hundreds of families, you know, purchase their home, getting a new appreciation for kind of the emotional side of it. What was that like, and how does that kind of help you, you know, kind of refresh, you know, yourself in working with clients purchasing or selling homes?
It is what I needed.
Yeah.
There were quite a few tears shed.
Yeah.
Oh, 100%. And I think it was mainly because of the stress of the time that I was buying
right
now. And you know, I hadn't done it in a while. I'm representing myself. I fully understand, again, what makes this process so emotional.
Yeah.
And it's funny because, you know, with all of my buyer clients, we have the exact same conversation in the very beginning. When you go into a house, you're going to know instantly if it's yours. And you say it over and over again, and you know the feeling. But when I went into that, I looked at one house.
Really?
It was one house. Well, actually two. They were neighbors. But I went into this one first, and I said, this is my house. And so it was nice to have that reminder of what my buyers feel when they realize that like the house we're standing in is theirs.
Yeah.
And it just kind of gave me another way to relate to my clients again.
Right.
And so right after I purchased a house, I helped another buyer, and I was able to really connect based on those emotions that I feel. I said, I just went through this. I know exactly how you feel.
Yeah.
And I can say it honestly.
Right.
And so it was good. I think it's helped. It just gave me the reminder I needed.
Yeah, it is very helpful to come from a position of empathy, of understanding what people are going through from all sides
yep.
and angles. And sometimes we do lose that feeling because it's what we do every single day. It's
right.
It's what our job is, and so sometimes we have no emotion, you know, tied into that when it's
right.
when the client has all their emotions tied into it.
Right. And that's why it's so important to have a realtor, though, is because you need yeah. someone that is able to direct you and help guide you through that doesn't have the emotion tied to the transaction.
Right.
So for me, it was very difficult to I was both. And so I really had to lean on some other professionals to
right.
get the emotion out of it, because you don't want to make an emotional based decision
Definitely.
When you're talking about repairs and money.
Right. Right.
You're listening to Carolina's Mortgage Radio. I'm your host, Brandon Kohlberg. Give us a call anytime during or after the show, 704-999-6646. You can make an emotional decision when you're looking at refinancing because you can save money.
Yay.
And that will help your emotional status. So call us anytime during after the show, 704-999-6646. So Naomi, great kind of segue into the fact that there's now a lot of online, quote unquote, help or you know, assistance for maybe, you know, less money, mm-hmm. if you want to call it that. What is the difference between having that live expert agent by your side during the process versus, you know, not, or one of these discount places or just online companies?
So these iBuyer programs, I actually, you are a number. It is, yeah. They're all transaction based. It is not relationship based. And for some, it's fine. So a little story, right when COVID started, I had someone reach out to me. It was a referral. They said, hey, I was under contract. They were a seller. They said, this iBuyer, they just backed out of buying my house because they are trying to tighten up their finances.
It's happening a lot. Yeah.
And we have already purchased a house, and I don't know what to do. And this company just dropped them. They canceled the contract and left them high and dry. So I went in and we got their house listed. She called me on a Friday. She was listed on a Sunday. I took one picture. We were under contract. I think it was Tuesday night. When you have these iBuyers, like I said, you're a number. It is a transaction. They need to make money and get out fast.
Right.
For realtors, it is – and for me, I can only speak for myself – it is a relationship. I'm never going to leave my people high and dry. If there's challenges, we're going to get through them together. And I think people now more than ever are starting to see a little bit of that, especially with some of these iBuyers, you know, during this time, leaving people just high and dry.
Yeah, it's not just the client isn't just a number. It's the fact that these programs are looking at only numbers.
That's it.
And so when COVID first hit, they were thinking, and I think incorrectly thinking, you know, what's going to happen, you know, to values.
Yep.
They
got scared.
They got very scared. They were thinking that values were going to drop, and they pulled out everything and left, like you said, to quote you, a lot of people high and dry. And of course we've seen nothing to warrant what they did to so many people, because values have remained on an increasing level. Inventory remains low. There's not enough properties out there for buyers. And so it continues to be a hot market. Again, going back to the local real estate market and kind of throwing out the national news, they base everything on a national policy. And so, you know, maybe in Vegas they should have they should have closed, you know, backed out of some deals.
Not here.
But not here. And so you're right. They left a lot of people high and dry. Whereas if they were working with a professional real estate agent, they probably would have got more money.
Yes, I did.
Less, yeah, of course you did.
I did.
Yeah. So I'm sure they were, you know, thrilled that.
Oh yeah.
That they pulled out and you got them more money.
Yeah, and we closed in less than 30 days.
Awesome.
And as is.
Perfect. get you some. So which just means, you know, no repairs. The buyer came in, no repairs. Paid more money, got the seller more money, and that's where the market should be. It should be a local market. You know, maybe in some world those iBuyer programs can play a role, but you're just in better hands
for some people. It does make sense for some people,
right? But you know, you're just in better hands using a local expert in the real estate market to help you sell, to help you market, to help you buy, even though something else may sound convenient, it's most likely not. And it's most likely going to cost you money and more stress.
Absolutely, 100%.
Give us a call anytime during or after the show, 704-999-6646. You're listening to Carolina's Mortgage Radio. I'm your host, Brandon Kohlberg. We've got Naomi Abel, real estate agent with Keller Williams South Park, here in studio. So yeah, I mean, I love that. I love that you've purchased a home during this whole time. And in the very beginning, you know, I would get some new contracts, Naomi, and I was actually a little bit shocked. And then that maybe lasted for, I don't know, maybe a month because you couldn't even see a house.
Right.
Everything was virtual. And I looked at my experience. I don't know if I'd buy a house not being able to see it.
Right.
But the contracts kept coming in. And then, of course, they ease restrictions. And really, the market just hasn't slowed down, which is a good thing for the area. I love hearing your experience, and always good. We can always learn from other people's experience too. To never forget the emotional pull that buyers and sellers have during the process. For myself, you know, I purchased a home beginning of last year, so it was not during COVID time. But definitely, it's always nice to hear those stories of kind of refreshing how we treat the process, and to always be aware that our clients have such a different level of motion in their experience.
Oh, absolutely. And I think it's also worth mentioning, you know, the rental rates in the Charlotte area are exorbitantly high. And I was renting. I had a month-to-month lease. So the difference in payment between my rent due every month and a home that I own is $200.
Crazy.
And that's it. And it's you don't have to put 20% down anymore. It's a huge misconception that I think is worth mentioning also. And it's just a different time. It's easier to buy a house, generally speaking. You don't have to, like I said, you don't have to have that 20% down anymore. With the rental rates being so high, I mean, if you're renting, it's worth looking to see if buying makes sense.
Yeah. I don't know what the actual statistics are. I don't know if you do, Naomi. I won't put you on the spot, but you know, it seems almost alarming how much rental rates have increased.
Thanks for not putting me on the spot because I don't know. But I've
even got some rental properties, and I don't know what the stat is. I just know that I'm getting more money than I used to be on the rental. And on some properties, I'm like, should I be charging this much? But the neighbor across the street is renting their house and charging more. So I'm like, well, this is crazy. I should just sell this house to these people.
Yeah.
it is crazy. I mean, if you're renting, not only are you not gaining any equity in that home or that position, if you want to call it that, you're paying much more. It's essentially all interest, as you know, and that's the biggest difference. So you're paying $200 less a month right now. But let's just say a fake example, Naomi. If you're paying $1,000 for rent, all that $1,000 is going to build nothing for you in terms of equity.
Nothing.
When you have a mortgage, and let's say the payment's the same, $1,000, with where rates are right now, starting out, about $350, $375 a month is actually going to equity. And so you're not just spending $1,000, you're actually spending about $625, $650. And you're getting $350 of value for that $1,000 payment. That is a huge difference that people really don't consider when they're analyzing rent versus buy. And so they're just thinking payment. Well, right now, it's kind of the best of both worlds. Like you said, you can actually buy for cheaper, but 35% of that right off the top is going to build equity for you right away, which is, you know, a huge difference. And that's why all the stats out there show that, you know, the net worth of homeowners is significantly larger than that of renters.
Well, and you know, so what's very interesting is when rates started to take a nosedive, I had the property management company of the place I was living. They said, hey, we have to have an appraiser come out. So these property owners, while your rent is staying the same, these property owners are refinancing to get lower rates. So you're putting even more money in their pockets. And it just – it's absolutely worth looking into.
Yes.
Because they're making even more money, which is great for them.
Right.
It's great for them.
For sure.
But if you can get into something for a little bit above what you're currently paying or the same that you're currently paying, it's definitely worth seeing if it's possible.
And you're building your net worth at the same time. And like you said, you don't need large down payments. Conventional could be as little as 3% down. You know, FHA is 3.5%. USDA could be 0%. For our veterans out there, of course, you've got a growing number of veterans in our area, 0% down, which is a fantastic loan. So if you have any questions on loan products, definitely give us a call, 704-999-6646. I'm your host, Brandon Kohlberg. Naomi, we kind of started the show talking about the fact that there's such a lag of inventory. Sellers may be thinking it's actually not a good time to sell because of kind of what's going on with COVID-19 and how you spend a lot of time and effort kind of getting the word out with mailers, with social media that, hey, if you're thinking about selling, it's actually a fantastic time to sell. What can those sellers do? They have the conversation with you. They want to sell. Now it's a great time to sell. What are some of the things that they can do to kind of maximize their marketability, their sales price?
Sure. So for me, you know, when I have a seller, my goal for them is to get them top dollar with putting as little money into the house to get it ready. So I have a consultation with them and I do a walkthrough of their house. And we just try to clean it up a little bit. All right, get rid of this. Let's do this. Put this here. Get this out of here. If you don't have a storage unit, load up your garage. Buyers can look past full garages, but we want to make this as clean and uncluttered as possible, because you really want these buyers to come in and be able to imagine their belongings in the house. We do a walkthrough of the outside. If there's little things here and there that I think are going to stand out in a negative way, we address it. I also, you know, for little nitpicky things that I think are going to come up on the inspection report, we address it if it makes sense. Like a door slam, like a storm door slamming right when it closes, things like that. So it's more, you know, let's get it spick and span. Let's talk about all the upgrades you've done. But at the same time, you know, we can get top dollar and that the prices are steadily going up, but it still has to make sense. Because you still need it to appraise unless it's an all cash offer. So it's really about giving the buyers right when they come in a good feeling.
Yeah.
You know, if there is a litter box somewhere, we're going to get rid of that. If there's dog bowls, we're going to put that away. I mean, don't open the cabinets of the kitchens because you're going to see everything.
Right. I would just say if you have a cat litter, just go ahead and get rid of the cat as well. Is that okay to say?
Fair. That's absolutely fair.
I'm not a cat person. Sue me. So, yeah, I think there's a misconception, too, that, you know, that in order to sell your home, you've got to, you know, make it to the nines or, you know, put a bunch of money in to, you know, upgrade things. Right. We don't want them to do.
No, I don't. You know, I was talking with someone who said, well, the carpet needs to be stretched out. Don't do anything until you start seeing that feedback.
Right.
It just doesn't make sense. I don't want you to put money into something unnecessarily.
Right. There's enough buyers out there that will come through the house, check it out, and provide feedback. So,
absolutely.
So talk about the feedback part, because I think maybe if you're not selling your home on a regular basis, which most people aren't, they're maybe unaware that of that feedback process. Talk about that.
Yeah. So for the sellers, there's an app that you download on your phone. Is called Showing Time, and it's an app that I pay for that is provided to you. And what you do is you go in and you confirm the appointments that are made by the agents. So an appointment pops up, you accept it, and then you go on your merry way, right? Mm-hmm. Well, after the showing, the agents I put in a request to the agent showing the property for feedback, and they, you know, does the buyer like it? Yes or no? On a scale of 1 to 5, how much? How is it priced? And then you can put your comments. And that's generally where the agents say, okay, well, we liked it, but this was the very first house we looked at. We don't like it because there's, you know, a big stain on the carpet. We don't like the layout. And so then I get that feedback and I publish it to the owners of the house. And if there becomes a pattern of feedback. So if I had a listing and, you know, there was big like hole in the carpet. And we never got feedback on that. So we didn't do anything with it.
Yeah.
If you see that, if you see constant feedback about a hole in the carpet, then we're gonna talk about how to address it.
Yeah.
But my goal is to make it so you spend as little money as possible.
Yeah.
Let's wait for the feedback to come in and see what.
Yeah,
it
that's
says.
A great. We never really touched on the feedback, but you know, it's a great point. Again, it's one of those things where because we do this every day. Sometimes some of the details get lost. I don't know if it does with you. I won't speak for you, Naomi.
I'm speak sure, for yourself.
I'm sure you don't miss anything. But with myself, it's you know things like that you know we could certainly miss some like those little details that we don't always talk about. But it's a great point because there are so many buyers out there because of there's lack of inventory. Definitely get people looking through the house, provide that feedback. But I definitely think there's this misconception from sellers that they've got to just make this house look amazing or put money
right.
into it.
And I think it's also fair to say, you know, in regards to the cosmetic changes that sellers want to maybe work on prior to listing, you know, when you go under contract, generally speaking, the buyer's not going to ask for cosmetic things. Mm-hmm. And it's an easy argument on the sell side. Well, we're not going to fix this because it's cosmetic.
Yeah.
So I don't want you to spend money unnecessarily.
Yeah. You're listening to Carolina's Mortgage Radio. Call us anytime during or after the show, 704-999-6646. We've got Naomi Abel in studio with us, Keller Williams South Park, and we need some listings, right, Naomi?
Yes.
So if you are thinking about selling your home, definitely give Naomi a call, and she will be happy to give you a consultation and what that would look like. Maybe do a seller net worksheet,
yep.
Show you how much you could get, and then we can show you what you can get for a new home in the area. And with rates being so low, it is really a fantastic time to have that conversation. Naomi, how would someone get a hold of you?
704-641-7133. That's my cell phone. You can call or text me. Or you can email me at NaomiAbelRealty@gmail.com, NaomiAbelRealty@gmail.com.
And, of course, we're all over social media, Naomi Abel and
yes.
Brandon Colbert, Carolina's Mortgage. We would love for you to go on Facebook and Instagram and connect with us. Always giving out some good information, updates on the market, kind of what's happening in our area. And of course, we've also always featuring some properties and sometimes featuring some of Naomi's listings as well. So a good time to kind of look at what is being sold in the marketplace and what's kind of happening in the marketplace. So obviously touched on a lot of, you know, the needs for you know, selling agent, listing agent. What is kind of the difference right now? I think maybe, again, really stressing on the issue of selling your home with as a seller right now. What is the difference right now of having just putting a sign out front for sale by owner versus having, you know, an expert like yourself now?
Oh, for sale by owner. This is another loaded question.
Yes.
So for sale by owner, I have a friend who is, we call it a FSBO. And when you do a for sale by owner as a seller, you are responsible for everything. You are responsible for knowing how the forms need to be filled out. You are responsible for your disclosures. You are responsible to make sure that people who are walking through your house are pre-approved and they're not going to come in and murder you. You are responsible for everything. You need to make sure that you're following CDC guidelines. I mean, there's a lot that's going into yeah. for sale by owners.
Now more than ever.
And you also have to remember that, you know, most properties are in the MLS. When you advertise a for sale by owner on a Zillow, agents aren't always going to Zillow. So you're not being marketed to 100% of the market that's looking to buy a house.
Right.
I think in regards to when you have an interested buyer coming through, they're most likely going to be working with an agent. So you are up against a professional in negotiations, in the purchase price negotiation, in the repair negotiations. There's a lot that goes to it rather than just showing a house. That's
right.
The easy part.
Right.
when you get into the nuts and bolts of everything,
the work starts once you're under contract.
100%.
Yeah.
And you need to understand terminology. There's a lot, and you're leaving a lot of money on the table. You need to make sure that the comps make sense. So, if, you know, a seller always thinks their house is worth more than it actually is. So if you go in $500,000, but it really is not worth that, it's worth $400,000, but you go under contract for $445,000 with an agent, that agent knows it's not going to appraise.
Right.
So you're not saving that money there, because you're going to end up having to go down in the purchase price.
Right.
And you really want someone that understands the market, that understands the process. On average, you will sell your home for, I think the national average is 16% more using a realtor than doing a for sale by owner.
Which is a lot of money.
It's a lot of money.
Yeah. And, you know, I've done a few this year, and I think every time the appraisal came in way short. The homes have to be appraised, and homes appraised based on what's recently sold, that, you know, similar comparable sales, and most sellers that are listing for sale by owner have something in their head,
of course,
that makes them do that in the first place. And makes them overvalue their property. They're typically more emotionally invested in their property, let's be honest. And it just doesn't create actually a great process. It typically is a setup for failure.
Not 100%, but most of the time,
right.
Yes. Yeah. And I also think, you know, I did a deal, I think it was a year and a half ago. It was a limited listing, meaning the owner gives the listing, gives a property to an agent. All the agent does is put it in the MLS so other realtors can see it. But the seller is the one that handles all the negotiations. So I came in as a buyer's agent. The sellers were representing themselves. They ended up, before we even submitted the repair request, they started fixing everything. And it wasn't even stuff we were going to ask for. So they spent, I think it was a few thousand dollars more than they had to, like fixing a garage and fixing, I think it was carpet. They repainted something.
Yeah.
We weren't going to even, and it was most of those items were cosmetic.
Right.
And we weren't going to even ask for it. And they did it anyways. So that's why it's just so important to have someone that understands the process.
Right.
On your side.
Yeah. And also, you know, I don't know if you do this. I don't know if it's a good thing to do or not. I won't make any judgment, but I do. It's just factual. I do know some agents just won't take their buyers to a for sale by owner because they don't want to have to work. Because when you're a buyer's agent and then you your client goes into contract with a for sale by owner, you essentially have to do multiple people's jobs.
Yeah, so I'm doing both ends of it. I think It's also, you know, important to note for people that aren't aware that as the buyer, you're not paying me.
Right.
The seller pays me. So what happens is if I happen to see a for sale by owner and I think it's a good fit for my buyers, I'm going to call the owner. I'm going to ask if they're co-broking, meaning are you going to pay a buyer's commission?
Right.
And if the answer is yes, okay. If the answer is no, then we have to approach it differently. And technically, I could ask the buyer to end up having to pay my portion of the commission. Now, that's not happened before, knock on wood. But yeah, generally I'm looking in the MLS first. That's
sure.
My go-to every single morning. I'm scouring the MLS to look for listings that have just hit that I think are going to fit what my clients are looking for.
Yeah. And also with being with Keller Williams South Park or just Keller Williams in general, or just a regular, real estate company in general, you've got so many people that you work with that are constantly communicating, hey, I've got this coming on the market.
Yes.
I've got this. And so it can make the process for a seller much easier because of the communication and the company standpoint that you have as a real estate agent.
Yes, 100%. So when I have something getting ready to hit, or if I have a seller that's thinking about selling, I put it out there to see. I get the feelers.
Right.
And feel it out and gauge interest.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So much good information. Again, if you're looking to sell your home or just have a conversation, definitely reach out, call us. I'm your host, Brandon Kohlberg, 704-999-6646. We
six. Apologize. Had Naomi Abel in studio with us. So much great information, Naomi. We really appreciate you being here. Fantastic time.
Yeah, this was fun. Thanks for having me again.
And we appreciate you tuning in. Have a great weekend, and we will definitely catch you next Saturday. Take care.
You've been listening to Carolina's Mortgage Radio with Brandon Kohlberg, Fort Mill, Rock Hill, and Tiga K's number one show for mortgage and real estate. Call Brandon at 704-999-6646 or visit Brandon Kohlberg online at carolinasmortgageradio.com. Join Carolina's Mortgage Radio again next Saturday morning beginning at 9 a.m. right here on WRHI FM 100.1.